Hey, this is Luke. Welcome to Lure It Up Podcast. Powered by Bazodi Magazine. We'll be interviewing local creatives who work in and around the clock for the Propover season and beyond. Join us on this journey as we go behind the scenes of what makes Propover, Propover.
Welcome to Season 2 of Episode 3 of the Lure It Up Podcast, powered by Bazodi Magazine, recorded and produced by Robbie at Nameless Production. On tonight's episode, we'll be featuring April Thomas, Director of Communications at the BTMI. We'll be dissecting the Food and Rum Festival and also the format of storytelling and marketing. We hope you enjoy!
Welcome to Lure It Up Podcast with Bazodi Magazine.
Okay, so we're back with another podcast session, and today is all about Food and Rum Festival. We're going to look at it on a different point of view from the aspect of storytelling. And today we have April Thomas, Director of Communications at the BTMI, and I'm so excited to have her. And the reason why I chose to come at it from a point of view of storytelling is because she's a storyteller. She's a literary artist, and I think that is so amazing to see creatives in another aspect using their talent through social media marketing to tell stories about Barbados. And she is young, fresh, cool. And I think that her storytelling so far has been amazing. And I just need to have a little pick at her brain to see where she's going with it. So April, welcome.
Thank you so much. And thank you so much, Megan, for having me and for, you know, acknowledging the work that we've been putting in. Mm-hmm. So it's good to see a fellow creative see the vision that you have. And just happy to be here to tell you about it.
Awesome. So by definition, storytelling is a social and cultural activity of sharing stories, sometimes with improvisation, theatrics, and embellishment. Every culture has its own story or narratives, which are shared as a means of entertainment, education, cultural preservation, or instilling morals and values. So that's a little definition of what storytelling is. And April, I just want to know, what is your story about Barbadian culture? Before we go into food, rum, and wine, tell me what you think, or if you were to speak to a four-year-old, tell a story about what Barbadian culture is to you.
So the good thing about it is that I started paying attention to Barbadian culture and storytelling when I was 4 years old, so it's not that hard.
Okay.
I tell the joke all the time that when I was younger and everybody was getting Barbie dolls, my mother literally bought me a chalkboard and chalk and was like, write whatever you're feeling. And I started making up stories from then, and my mind's been going wild. And, you know, for me, it's always been about the people. Mm-hmm. Like, I think, yes, everybody distinguishes the Caribbean because of the beaches and maybe the food and stuff like that. But I think that the real color and culture and vibe comes from who we are as a people. Mm-hmm. And when you travel, you realize that so much more. Like, you know, I always wonder, like, people just don't seem to relate to things the way we do. Mm-hmm. They don't seem to immerse themselves in things the way we do. Like Caribbean people, we're going to get all up in everything that mm-hmm. we're doing. We're going to be expressive and explosive with it. And so for me, like, you know, telling that story of Caribbean culture and Caribbean people has always been about like who we are. What do we look like? What do we sound like? What do we walk like, talk like, dress like? What do we feel and mm-hmm. think? And so I try to connect with that in everything that I'm doing to really showcase the essence of who we are as a people.
Mm, fantastic. For me, my story about Barbados would come from obviously a dancer's perspective, but understanding the true richness of our African culture and heritage. And so when we talk about food and rum, you really have to think about where our culture for our food came from. Mm-hmm. So for instance, pudding and sauce. Pudding and sauce was like scraps that the slave owner would have put outside. And in order for them to preserve them, they would pickle them, put them in like ice or anything and put the pudding together. And that became a dish. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's such an amazing Well, I mean, like, it's French slavery, so it's not that amazing. But it's creative to see how our people made a dish out of nothing. And that, for me, is storytelling, and that, for me, is culture.
Yeah, and we actually hit on that in one of the Food and Rum events. So there's one night, we're doing a dinner series, and the title of it is Journey of Food. From Africa to Barbados to the Americas.
Okay, right. Okay, mm-hmm. Well, see, I didn't even realize there that. You know, so you do have a connection with Africa.
Yeah, okay. And we have a Ghanaian chef who's coming. So he's the African component.
Okay.
Then we have our 30 Barbadian chefs and mixologists, of course.
Oh.
And then we do have some American chefs like Anne Burrell and Mark Murphy and Huda that are here.
That's an awesome segue then.
Yeah, it's all of it being interwoven into the entire festival.
So I just read an article about the sugar industry declining, but really and truly, when you think about it, back then the sugar industry would have really what would have led our rum industry. So again, that's another form of storytelling and just understanding where our true heritage comes from and the journey from then to now. So let's talk about that. Before we started, I was just giving a preface of what the podcast would be like. And I love your form of storytelling with the mixologist. Can you give me a little detail of how you wanted our audience to feel and understand about that?
Yeah, I think that for us, like I said, you know, so much of what we do and what makes us who we are is the people. Working in tourism has taught me that as well. I'm not a tourism head at all. That's not my background. It is comms, PR, rating, all that kind of stuff. And what I then brought of myself to this job in tourism is to make everything about storytelling. So I'm not just coming and, you know, just throwing out, okay, the best beaches, the best places to come to, whatever. I'm really trying to get into the story of who Barbadians are, mm-hmm. and what makes us so different even from the other Caribbean islands. Mm-hmm. And so when we had this roster of 30 plus, you know, chefs, local chefs and mixologists, I really wanted people to connect with them and to want to come to the events, not just for the food and the drinks and whatever, but to actually want to come and know the Barbadian chefs and get a bit of their personality. So as soon as we signed them on, I said, guys, let's not, you know, just kind of do this and walk away, but let's really dig in and get people to feel a sense of who these guys are, and girls, of course. And so, you know, we set up in our boardroom to have them come in, and they had on their chef jackets, and we did a little photo shoot. And it was like, you know, just be yourselves, be fun, be quirky. Mm-hmm. And, you know, then our social media team was there. I was like, you know, just throw any oddball questions you want. It doesn't even have to be about, you know, food or rum specifically. Mm-hmm. Just get people to connect with them so that when they do come to the events and they see, you know, a Damian Leach or a Craig Greenidge or whomever, they're like, I remember you. You're the guy who said that, you know, if he couldn't be a chef, the only other thing he would be is unemployed. Like, you know, you feel like you know these people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's really what
we have to know them if we're sitting on traffic and seeing their pictures on it. I think that's another form of marketing that you guys use, visual marketing, mm-hmm. where you've seen, again, their faces. You scroll on Instagram, you see the same pictures. So there's a level of continuity happening and storytelling. How did you connect the artist, example, Peter Ram, with Food and Rum this time around?
So again, that is all about personality. And Peter Ram in particular, he is a vibe.
Mm-hmm.
And he brings that energy and that excitement. And I think that the juxtaposition of this traditional, you know, entertainer, performer on a stage in a kitchen, a cocktail kitchen, is like immediately, because your brain is not like naturally connecting the two of them, you kind of got to pause, like, wait, what is Peter Ram doing in the kitchen?
You zone in a little bit more.
To stop what you're doing to figure out what is this? Is he singing about like food? Yeah. Like, what is happening?
Mm-hmm.
And so using things like that to, again, just disrupt some of the noise, because there's so much noise in advertising and social media nowadays that you got to really be creative and think outside the box if you want to even grab people's attention for the 30 seconds of a reel or anything like that. So
awesome. Love it. Okay, so just give me a rundown of all the events that we're going to have for you, your personal favorite event, and also what are you going to take out from the festival and what are you going to bring or add to the festival?
Okay, so the festival officially, the dates are the 27th to the 30th of October, but We did want to stretch that a little bit so that, you know, everything isn't crammed into one weekend, especially for people who can't be on island during those 4 days. Mm-hmm. So we do have some activities that are leading up to that. Activities like the big food truck mashup that's mm-hmm. happening in Pelican Village next week, and that's absolutely free. And those who were there in 2019, you know that, you know, it's such a great bring your friends, bring your family, chill kind of vibe. Mm-hmm. This year we have over 30 trucks and vendors that are going to be coming out, so it's going to be packed. There's going to be entertainment and everything.
So this is in town, right? And so this means that the entire Pelican area will be shut off.
Correct.
Okay.
Just to focus on food and rum. Like that's all that town is.
That's like going to be like Bridgetown Market. And
there you go. Okay. On crack. Bridgetown Market on crack. That's what we're doing.
Wow.
So events like that, again, you know, they're different. They're young. They're fresh. They're modern. And that's the direction that, you know, we want to be going in because that's the future, right?
Mm-hmm.
In addition to that, then we have a couple of talks. So the culture of cuisine, that's what they're called. And these are talks that are being put on by experts in their fields, again, to tell the story of, you know, our food and our rum. So on like the first night, which is the 20th of September, we are going to have the slow food movement. They're mm-hmm. going to be coming in and they're going to be doing a talk.
And if anybody knows what slow food is, it is based on all foods from the earth,
mm-hmm.
so like sweet potatoes, things that you have to slow cut. So the opposite of fast food, sweet potatoes, okras, finding really fun and creative ways to use foods from the earth and make it tasty.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And so, again, all of these ways that we relate to food, we want to make sure that we're putting on show mm-hmm. for people. Then on the next lecture is going to be by Richard Seal of, you know, Foursquare. Mm-hmm. And he's going to be talking about that rum production process mm-hmm. and so on. And then the last lecture is on the land that brought sugar.
Okay.
And that's by Kevin Farmer, who's the director of the Barbados Museum and a huge historian and all around just a very interesting guy.
Wow, it's so definitely storytelling.
That is like storytelling, again, 101 for us because, mm-hmm. yes, we have all the events happening at the end of October, but before we even get there, we want you to kind of, you know what you're coming to and understand so that by the time you see it, you're like, whoa, you mm-hmm. know, this is not just rum. This is a story behind this.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the events kind of leading up to it. And then, of course, and I'll talk a little bit about that later, but our Junior Chef Cook-Off is happening as well.
So where are the talks going to happen?
The talks are happening at the Grand Salle in Bridgetown. They're absolutely
in
free.
Park?
No, Grand Salle.
Oh, Frank, Central Bank.
Yes.
Frank Coleman Hall.
Next to Frank Coleman Hall.
Okay, mm-hmm. got it. And what's the cost of that?
They're free.
Oh, yeah. Awesome.
You just need to go online. Obviously, space is limited, so mm-hmm. we don't want everybody to turn up.
Definitely go
so
to
you
that.
Just need to go online to ticketlinks.com and get your free pass.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay, going back to the social media marketing, what do you want your audience to feel, being that this is not a new festival, but it's a festival that's coming up on its own? What's the difference between Food and Rum and Cropover?
Yeah, so we actually get that a lot, I guess, because it's coming on the heels of mm-hmm. and we're working in partnership with the NCF to put it on.
Mm-hmm.
But really and truly, all of them have the same goal, which is to promote and showcase our culture.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the culture that people expect and they know well of us because we've been doing it so long is Cropover. Mm-hmm. Like they know us for our costumes, they know us for our parties, they know us for our Bridgetown Market, our arts and crafts and all those things. But then Food and Rum comes on the heels of that to give it kind of a different spin. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, food and the creativity of food is kind of in the background of Cropover events.
Yeah.
Like, they're kind of there, but you don't really go for them.
Yeah.
No, we're flipping that model.
Okay, make it all
food
about the food.
Is, yeah, and then the entertainment is something that, you know, is integrated into it.
Mm-hmm.
But we really want this to be the literal, like, the celebration of culinary excellence in Barbados. That's mm-hmm. what we want the Food and Rum Festival to be. We want it to stand alone as a national festival.
Mm-hmm.
And we want it to be something that, you know, everybody knows that the place to be in October is Barbados for this.
Awesome. We had, I think, 2 or 3 podcasts ago, we were speaking about tourism
mm-hmm.
and how outside of the sugar industry, food is the next thing that is prestigious to Barbados. So we hold ourselves in high esteem for our restaurants
mm-hmm.
and amazing cuisine. And when our mixologists go overseas, we feel comfortable knowing that they're going to put on a show by their personality and their uniqueness in their drinks. And also the rum that game that you drop. So I think that that is absolutely amazing. Can you tell us about the last events happening from the 27th to the 30th?
Right, the main event. Mm-hmm. Okay, so right. So on the 27th, we kick off the festival in Oystens because you cannot talk about food in Barbados and not talk about Oystens.
Yeah.
Even if you don't go there every Friday night, like, somebody comes here and they're like, where is a good place to get food on a Friday night? You're going to tell them Oystens. It's like obligatory. So we are kicking it off there on a Thursday night, which is the 27th. But for those of you who've been before, it's so different this year because it's going to be hosted by Anne Burrell. So one of our international chefs that's coming in, she is going to be hosting that. And so she's going to be going alongside our local chef, Craig Greenidge, and they are going to be doing a mashup on that main stage, entertainment.
Is she Canadian?
Everything. She's American.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice. She's been here before, and she loves Barbados.
She has, like, gray hair.
Huge hair.
Right, I think I know who you mean.
Like, you know her by her hair.
Yeah, I think.
It's massive.
She's on the Food Network often.
Yeah, she is.
Okay.
Yeah, she is.
So that's also amazing marketing from the international market.
Because, and that's the thing, like, obviously, it's not to take away from our local chefs because we, as you mentioned, are elevating them as much as possible. But then to get them beyond, you know, these 166 square miles, having partnerships then with some of these international chefs who, by the way, have in some instances invited local chefs to cook in their restaurants in New York City and Washington, D.C. So we start to get them, you know, to rub shoulders with the best of the best over there. Mm-hmm. And then it opens opportunities for them to, you know, go outside Barbados and take their talent elsewhere. So we're really happy to have her there. And then, of course, you know, we're going to have certain production companies come into live stream that because she's there. So people are really coming to show the world Oystens, what our chefs and mixologists have to offer.
Okay.
So very excited about that. And that is the opening. It is a free event as well. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you just come down and buy food and drinks like you normally do in Oystens.
Mm-hmm.
Then the next day on the Friday, those four international chefs that we've brought in. So this will be Eric Ajapong, the Ghanaian chef.
Mm-hmm.
Going to be Huda Moomin as well.
Wow.
There's going to be Anne Burrell. And there's going to be Mark Murphy and David Rose, five actually. And they're doing chef classics, which are chef demonstrations at restaurants and villas around the island.
Wow.
And that, the tickets for that are $150. And in that time, you get to do what so many people can't. These are celebrity chefs on the big screen across the world. And you get the opportunity to just come and sit and have them prepare, you know, their dish right in front of you.
That's awesome.
And just, you know, interact with them, mingle with them. I mean, they're small groups, like 50 people. So it's really like an intimate setting where you get to, again, know the person and their personality. They tell you stories about themselves. So really looking forward to that one also. And then on a Friday night, we have a new event, the Rum Route Street Party.
Okay.
St. Lawrence Gap Street Party.
Okay.
Happens on a Friday night. And again, St. Lawrence Gap being one of the hubs of nightlife in Barbados.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that we want to make sure that, you know, anybody coming here, they can say, okay, they've been, they know, they feel, and it was different and they want to come back.
Okay.
So I know there are, you know, lots of places in the Gap that have popped up recently. And we want to, again, get them out there because we have big names. We have National Geographic Traveler, Food Network. We have Condé Nast. We have so many people coming that we really want to show them what the spots are in Barbados that they need to tell the world about.
Okay.
So that's on the Friday night. And then you go home and you sleep for like 2 hours. And then we have Rice and Rum, the breakfast beach party. And that is my favorite. Yeah, which one is my baby? That one is my baby. I mean, it's a breakfast party. It's a beach party. It's a themed party because the dress code is sunrise yellow.
Ooh.
So it's all yellow decked. So you can imagine like all of this beautiful melanin. And
listen, and the sunrise and kissing his skin,
you.
And we just, you know, living it. Yes, I get you.
So that is the vibe for that. And again, you want to see, you know, your omelet station, your waffle station, you're building your own things. And it's going to be honestly just so fun and refreshing and different because, again, it's going to be all about the food. So mm-hmm. food is not like on the periphery. Mm-hmm. It's right there in the center. You come to eat and eat and eat and be entertained. And then on the Saturday night is that journey of food that I was telling you about. Mm-hmm. So various restaurants around the island, they're going to be putting on dinners mm-hmm. featuring these chefs. And then that takes us to Sunday, which is the finale day. So in the morning, again, because we're telling the story of rum, the birthplace of rum being Barbados, we have our cask rum tours. Mm-hmm. So those are going to be happening at Mount Gay and Foursquare. And I know that there are a lot of Barbadians who've never been on a rum tour. They've never been to a distillery. They don't, because you get it out there, but there are a lot of people who don't. It's like the Barbadians that never went to the beach or that don't go to the beach.
Who are you?
I know. So we have these special VIP tours that we're putting on for a special price of $100, because normally it's more than that. Mm-hmm. But you can come and you can go to those rum distilleries and you can see the process from start to finish. And like, mm-hmm. if you've never been to the Mount Gay Distillery in St. Lucie. Like, mm-hmm. I know some people would have gone to the visitor center on Spring Garden.
Right.
But the one in St. Lucie is really like, it is gorgeous. It is beautiful. To see the sugar cane there that they're pulling and then taking you through that whole process.
Yeah.
So
definitely that gives me goosebumps.
I know, like, you see it and it's like, whoa, this is so much bigger than me. Like, this story is so much bigger than I am. And then we close it with a VIP event, because you know they just love to get dressed up and go.
Yes.
So our VIP event, our elegant Ilara Core event, mm-hmm. is the Liquid Gold Feast, mm-hmm. and that happens on the Sunday night, the 30th of October.
Sounds juicy and good.
Yeah, it is going to be sexy. It's going to be opulent. It's going to be everything it should be.
Love it. Wow. This is amazing. I love the storytelling again. Mm-hmm. The question is, how are we going to tell a modern story about Barbados while appealing to the younger audience so that they can understand their true heritage? Well, mm-hmm. how would we do that? Like, the question is, do they understand? Do they only come to the events because it's opulence and sexiness? Mm-hmm. Do they understand what our forefathers put into the real culture of who we are, from rags to riches, mm-hmm. you know?
So the reason why I told you that I really loved that you were coming from this angle of storytelling is because when I was handed this project, Food and Rum, it didn't always sit with me or in my department. I took it over this year. And the first thing I did is I sat down and I said, okay, I don't just want to put on a bunch of events with no purpose. Like, mm-hmm. we do that, you know, people do that all the time. I don't want it to just be, you know, you come, you have fun, you drink, you get drunk maybe, and then you go home and you forget about it till next year. I want people can walk away with some sense of impact. Mm-hmm. And so I said, you know what, this year we're going to do it differently. We're going to start with a theme. Mm-hmm. You know, what is it that we want people to take away from this festival? And so we came up with the theme, Feed the Future.
Wow.
And that is all about recognizing the space that we're in and the space that we want to create for future generations. Like, everybody is always going off on the baby boomers about how they crashed everything and just left us to fend for ourselves. Mm-hmm. And we know as millennials, you can't. You have to think about the future generations. Definitely. And so for me, it was really about understanding, okay, how can we create a festival that impacts, you know, the future so that it's not just a standalone good time you go home and, you know, the next generation, that's what came to mind. Mm-hmm. So how do we do that, you know? And one of the things that, again, not tourism isn't my background, mm-hmm. but I know a lot of people, when they think of tourism even, they think of, you know, the housekeepers and, you know, so on. But it's also the same culinary talent that we're talking about. These chefs and mixologists, people come here to eat their food and drink their drinks and go back and tell the world about the amazing bartender that cracked all these jokes. Like, that is what people come to Barbados for. Mm-hmm. And what we decided to do is create these scholarship opportunities for these young Barbadians. So right now, we actually just finalized the 12 finalists. They're going to be participating in a very intense 4-week course with Peter Eady.
Oh.
And most people know him from Juling.
Yeah.
Junior Chefs. Mm-hmm. And so he's back with the festival this year. He was so excited to come on board.
So good. He is a national treasure,
like a gem. And he was so excited when we called him, because he's like, you know, this is what I always thought the festival should be about. Like, really reinvesting into the future. Mm-hmm. So he's come on board. We whittled them down. We had so many entries. We got them down to 12 finalists between the ages of 16 and 21. Mm-hmm. And they are now going to go every weekend to train with him. And he's going to be prepping them. And then
goosebumps thinking about
it. And so he's sharing a lot of that knowledge. Because you, if you know Peter Eady, he's not going to just teach you like how to cook.
Mm-hmm. He's very funny. He's very charismatic.
Everything he knows.
Yes.
So all that culture and that history and that heritage and everything that you talked about, mm-hmm. they're going to get that from him. And then they're actually going to do 2 live cook-offs for the semifinals and the finals. So Barbadians are going to be able to come and actually see these guys going head-to-head with each other.
It just brings us back to the old CBC days watching Jewish chefs.
I know, Monica Sunny, even a type of singer, all these things. So that is, we wanted to bring that richness because I feel like that's a sense of community that we've been missing for so long.
Yes, especially because of COVID now, this is the time to use food as a form of community.
There you go.
Yeah.
So they're going to come, they're going to go head to head, and the 2 winners are going to both get, you know, culinary scholarships to go on pursue their culinary degrees. And then, you know, in a couple of years, we're going to see them as the top chefs and mixologists and bring them back into the program. So that is really like the big picture story that we want to get out of Food Around this year.
Okay. I love that. I love it. Congratulations on that. I'm going to sneak in a quick question about Crop Over. I absolutely love the branding, the visual branding for I Love Crop Over.
Mm-hmm.
We saw it everywhere. And this time around, we realized that NCF and BCMI worked together.
Mm-hmm.
Did that relieve you guys combining together? Was it easy working together? How did that go?
Yeah, so I think, I mean, we have been unofficial sister agencies for a long time.
Every time, yeah. Because I think if you're a national, if you're in order to bring on a national event, you need to go through the Cultural Foundation.
Correct.
Right.
Correct.
Right.
So I think that this year, it worked so beautifully because everybody knew their strengths and they relayed on them.
Wow.
So I think that, you know, the NCF is in a place where they know who they are, they know what they do, and they do it well.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing for us at the BTMI.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have
definitely
a lot of new faces that have come in, some younger people, some fresher ideas to mix with these seasoned professionals and more mature ideas and their experience and their wisdom. And we put it all together, and then we were able to really produce a world-class festival that had people from the region, from the US, the UK, Canada, all of our source markets, as far as Europe and Latin America, talking about how amazing this festival was.
For me, I think that the visual marketing was solid this year.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a good comeback from 2 years of no crop over, 3 years, 2 years, 2.5 years. It felt solid. It felt like there was an investment. And it felt like effort was put in.
Oh, it was a labor of love, girl.
Talking about effort and putting in effort, the social media influencer marketing,
mm-hmm.
how did you go about that? And why did you choose that form of marketing to reach your audience?
Okay. So for the BTMI specifically, we have for many, many years had this, what we call a visiting journalist program. And in that, we would bring journalists from publications that, you know, obviously match what we're going for. We bring them here, you know, to see things about Barbados, like usually around activities happening, and we want coverage for it and stuff like that. So that's one way that we're able to keep Barbados top of mind without spending like $1 million on an ad campaign. You know, you just bring a journalist from a top publication here for a weekend and they write amazing stories and you get ad value
again,
to this world. Again, storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
So just as time and media evolved and, you know, you stepped out of just the traditional media space with newspapers and magazines, and you started to get into social medias, your Instagrams and so on. Obviously, influencer marketing starts to come up.
Mm-hmm.
So what we did this year is that we went at it so purposefully and aggressively. We said, okay, what we're going to do, we're going to bring our traditional media publications. So we still had, you know, like the Cosmopolitans and the L's and the Essence and the Allures and stuff like that. They were there. Perhaps not as visible because they're for print and not for social, but they were there. And then we combined them then with some top influencers from the markets that, you know, we get the majority of our airlift from. We have the majority of our interest coming from those markets and we have direct connections there. And we brought them and we married them together. And they really gel so well. Mm-hmm. And it was amazing to see them just, you know, bigging up each other, experiencing Barbados for the, some of them for the first time together and stuff like that. And then because just like in traditional tourism, nobody wants to just come to Barbados and experience Barbados in a vacuum. We said, you know, we really want to bring, you know, some local creatives along mm-hmm. to, you know, influence the culture and help them see and understand it through our lens so that they're not just like a group of people who have no idea what Barbados is. So when they
I was going to ask that because what was the vetting for choosing specific influencers? Oh. How did you go about, okay, I'll get this person, that person. How did you think about these specific people all over the world?
Yeah, so we have a very rigorous process. So we have PR agencies within the markets and it starts with us kind of pitching to people. So we'll kind of go out and do an open call that, you know, Barbados is having crop over, are you interested? Mm-hmm. Then we start to look at, you know, not just numbers, because numbers tell you like half the story. Mm-hmm. We start to look at things like personality. Mm-hmm. There are some of us that we, some of them that we have a relationship with, which is really important.
Okay.
Because one thing you'll find with influencer marketing is that if you have a personality that does not work with you, it's going to backfire. Yes. It will be what I paid for versus what you got. Right?
Yeah.
And so really and truly working with people who have that charisma, who have the understanding and appreciation mm-hmm. of our culture mm-hmm. is also important because, you know, there were some that came here and even I was a little iffy, like, is this going to work? Mm-hmm. And they had a blast.
Okay.
Especially the ones from Latin America. So apparently, Latin Americans, they don't cut out. They don't cut out. They were like going. I was like dead and they were still going. So understanding people who have that appreciation for your culture is also extremely important.
My one question would be the outlook that you took for Food and Wine, where you brought the food and rum. sorry, I'm still there. The food and rum, as mm-hmm. in you're telling a story about Barbadian culture and using people from the diaspora, mm-hmm. like from Africa and Ghana. I feel as though I didn't see anybody from Ghana to connect, but that's fine. That was just me. So I was just wondering, like, do people really connect with us? But then you did explain they loved it. Mm-hmm. So no, I do get it.
They do. And I mean, there's always two sides of it. There is that side, it's like what I call the softer, the PR side, which is, mm-hmm. you know, kind of what people see and making sure that we put across something that everybody kind of understands what we're doing and why we're doing it. Mm-hmm. But then there's also just the hard business of it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, at the end of the day, we have a job, which is to bring visitors to Barbados. Mm-hmm. Like, and that's why working with the NCF is so important because they have a very different mandate than we do.
Ah.
So when we work together, mm-hmm. it works because the NCF mandate is cultural promotion and cultural demonstration, just cultural development, mm-hmm. all these things. That mm-hmm. is what the NCF's job is to do.
Okay.
It's not the BTMI's job. The BTMI's job is to bring people to Barbados at the end of the day.
Got it.
That's what we get judged on. Based our success internally is based on, you know, how many people can we get to this island.
Okay.
So there is some overlap. Of course, as you're bringing people, you need to have a reason to bring them. Mm-hmm. And so that's where the NCF and their cultural development and everything comes
in. Got it.
So for us, it's a little different. And that's why I always start by telling people, okay, just remember what our goal is mm-hmm. to bring people to Barbados. So mm-hmm. then when we look at where we should bring people from,
mm-hmm.
we have source markets that have been developed based on, you know, attitudes, behaviors, income, lifestyle, airlift,
mm-hmm.
cruise. Where do people come from? We only have planes flying from a couple of places.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we focused on. So when you're wondering, like, but why would they bring somebody from Germany?
Okay.
Because we have a flight coming from Germany.
So
if you have a flight coming from Germany, we need to incentivize.
Probably a direct flight, too.
We do. Mm-hmm. So then how do we incentivize Germans to get on a plane and come to Barbados?
Got it.
We need to go to Germany and find influencers that Germans trust, that Germans will believe in,
and
that Germans will say, I will follow that person.
Okay.
So Barbados.
I feel you. Right? I get it. No, get it.
So for us, it's like, okay, then how do you find a German that, you know, is going to represent your culture well? And mm-hmm. I mean, those are very tricky things to do, you know? So there is a vetting process that we go through and then a reporting process afterwards to make sure that, you know, once they came, they actually did what they were supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the reason why you may not see, like, okay, yes, Africa's a market that we want to get into, but right now we don't have
the connection
that we should. So for us to then, you know, focus on Africa in terms of, like, let's say we bring influencers from there, that's fine. But then if people get frustrated because they want to come to Barbados, but they can't get here.
Yeah.
So to get here from Africa, do you know how hard it's going to be?
Yeah, it's kind of me setting.
Correct. So for us, you know, while we would love to, you know, showcase that, it's still a case where we have to make a justification for the money that we're spending.
The process is still evolving.
It is. We would love to, and we hope to get to that stage. Mm-hmm. I know, you know, at the governmental level, way above our pay grades, those conversations are happening about, you know, our direct connections with Africa and how we get airlift from there. And so, trust me, from the time you see direct airlift between Barbados and Africa, you're going to see all the African influencers coming. I'll tell you, from all the countries.
I got one more question. This is the last question. As a dancer, and it was, you know, I was thinking about this and I was talking to my cousin today because she's also a creative. She's more of a designer. We often bring a lot of artists here to bring to show their culture. And it feels as though it makes artists like us, like me, feel as though our art is superior to the person because they're coming to show us what to do. Mm-hmm. But I'm thinking, is there any means for us as artists to go out there and say, hey, this is our art. We are fabulous. We have it. Let me show you. Let me teach you this. Mm-hmm. Is there any avenues for the BTMI to have that opportunity? I mean, there's Underwater Barbados, but there I feel like there are other things that should be available to artists that, I mean, in the future, that the BTMI could think about as our culture being the head point. Like, this is something you should take from us and not we take something from you.
For sure. And I think, so we have offices in the market. So we have a US office, for example, in New York.
Like Dubai.
Correct. UK. We have Toronto and so on and so on. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Caribbean and Latin American one is based here. But anyway, the point is, that is the exact kind of things that they're looking for. So I can tell you right now, just because of how easy, I guess, it has been to translate the chefs and mixologists. Like, we're always flying chefs and mixologists.
I know.
Everywhere.
Philip is everywhere.
Like, we take them everywhere to showcase, you know, this is the best of Barbados.
Yeah.
And I think, I mean, I don't know the long history. I'm sure before I came there was probably stuff that I don't know about. Mm-hmm. But for right now, like, I can tell you the easiest way, the fastest way, is to kind of do your research on your own. Mm-hmm. Because, again, don't forget, we're going to have limited resources. Mm-hmm. We would love to have all the time and the people to research everything new and trendy and what's happening and what's the best opportunities. We're going to miss some. Mm. But what we want is for people, for creators, to come together and put a proposal and a costing and everything and say, you know what? This is what I'm going to do. I am one of the best dancers in Barbados. I see this opportunity to go over wherever and showcase what I have to offer. These are the kind of people that I'm going to be attracting. Mm-hmm. And this is how I want to then turn around and bring those people to Barbados. Mm. This is how much it's going to cost. Can you help me?
Okay.
And you would be surprised, Megan, honestly, at how much that does not happen. People kind of just like...
I mean, okay, you know that you're saying this now, but we don't know that that's the opportunity that we have.
I know, and that's why we have discussions like this. Yeah. We have access to people like us that can say, you know, this is how you do it. Because a lot of time people are kind of like, oh my God, they never, you know, do this, they never do that. And a lot of times it's like, okay, send me the stuff. And they're like, oh... No, I thought you guys were kind of...
No, I get you,
right?
I get you,
So fully. There is no way... I mean, there's sports. There's in within the arts. There's culinary arts. There's literary arts. There's performing arts. There's so many different things that are amazing about Barbados that we would love to take everywhere. Mm-hmm. But we don't have the resources to explore all of them.
Okay.
So we're looking for people who are experts in the field. Like, I mean, a perfect example is how... And I'll just call this off the top of my head, but the recent Ninja Throwdown that they had in Barbados, big deal, right?
Yeah.
These guys are beasts. Like, the organizers of this event.
They've been doing that for a while, too.
And they do the legwork. They go and they say, okay, BTMI, you know, it'd be really great if we were able to take some of our athletes here. to whatever championship or whatever.
I think
whatever
it's an amazing
happening.
Thing you guys did to team up this time around with them, because I don't think I saw that before.
Mm-hmm. So and they it, just approached us
and I put
like,
it on a platform a little
exactly.
bigger, and I think more people attended. Okay, I get you now.
Yeah, so literally everybody
so
that
basically
you
you're saying is don't be lazy.
Yeah, no, that's it. Do your homework.
Yeah,
bring it to us, mm-hmm. and you know if we can afford to.
Mm-hmm.
And we can make the business case for it, because mm-hmm. like that's the next thing. Like, not every great idea that costs $1 million we're going to be able to afford to do. Like, literally, the BTMI operates under a budget of $75 million a year,
okay.
which is to fund everything that we do, including our salaries and everything else, right? All over the world. So whenever we do things, we have to be very careful in like what we select and being able to say, okay, yes, this is going to bring some return on investment. So that's what the people that you see us working with, mm-hmm. it's just because that's what they've done.
Wow.
And I think that Ninja Throwdown is like one of the best examples recently of that and how a partnership like that can work.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Awesome. This is a great discussion. Mm-hmm. I love it. You're a good storyteller.
Thank you.
And yeah, and you know, going forward as artists, I just would love for us in any field that we do to continue to understand our heritage, continue to know where we're from, and tell our stories authentically, shamelessly, and lovingly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank
this is great.
Basildi.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. This episode was recorded and produced by Robbie at Nameless Productions.